To say that our culture is addicted to the supernatural may be an understatement. Instead of seeking God through His Word, several generations have become desensitized to accept occult supernaturalism as normal. A casual internet search indicates the scope of the world's addiction to the supernatural, and anyone doubting this need only survey the content and philosophy that fuels the most popular movies, television shows, video games, literature, and music. And remember, this cultural, moral, and spiritual shift has taken less than 100 years to complete. Over the past few decades, there has been a steady stream of media presenting the message of spirituality, but rejection of God, the Bible, and Christianity. And while the majority of those advocating the occult and New Age spirituality don't understand what they're really accomplishing or where it is leading, observers with an eye on the Bible know that the world has been and is now being systematically conditioned for no less than the Antichrist. Indeed, does the Bible hold specific warnings about the very phenomena we're watching unfold? And more importantly, does the rise of the occult serve as a marker indicating that Jesus Christ is coming to gather His church very soon? This is Eric Barger, and today on Take a Stand Radio, we're going to examine the modern occult explosion in the light of Bible prophecy. Stay tuned.
It's time to Take a Stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Hello, everybody. Take a Stand Radio is on the air. This is Eric Barger. We're here every weekend, this same time, same stations. Thank you for joining me today. Before we begin the first installment of this new series, I want to give you some contact information so you can follow along and also obtain more resources on this topic and on every topic we cover here on Take a Stand Radio. The website is a great source of information for you. It's ericbarger.com, ericbarger.com. You'll find it's way more than an advertisement for our ministry. It is a resource center on all the different issues that I address. Remember, you can listen to each and every one of the Take a Stand Radio broadcasts that we've ever produced by clicking on the radio archive link there at ericbarger.com as well. All new programming is added weekly, both to our website and also it's available through iTunes or by searching for me, Eric Barger, on iTunes. Before we get started, I want to remind you that several months ago, we did a series relating to the one we're starting today, which came from information found in my book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware. Again, those programs can be found listed in the radio archive page at ericbarger.com. Another great way to connect with us, by the way, is the Eric Barger Take a Stand Ministries smartphone app that you can find for Android and for iPhone. Just visit the App Store or the Android Market, search for Eric Barger on your smartphone, and download our free app. It'll deliver information and content directly to your phone, such as our ministry speaking schedule, my newsletters and articles, and of course, every broadcast from Take a Stand Radio. It's the way I stay connected with so many other ministries and other issues, and perhaps the best way that people on the go can connect with us. That's the Eric Barger Take a Stand smartphone app for Android and iPhone. Just search for Eric Barger in the App Store or the Android Play Store Market to download your free app. All right, here's the introduction to my seminar DVD teaching, Bible Prophecy and the Occult. I'll be back with you live in just a few minutes. This is kind of a continuation of my book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware, and of several of the other seminars that we do. But this is important stuff, and certainly if we are indeed living in the end of the end days, we as Christians ought to know what is happening around us. I believe the occult has a lot of prophetic nature to it, and the occult and the rise of the occult is certainly something we'll see in Scripture. Now, I want to define some terms for you as we begin. I want to define the terms end times and prophetic so that you know what I'm talking about when I use those terms. End times often refers to the entire church age. But specifically, when I'm talking about it, I'm speaking to the time at the very end of the church age. And that's where I believe we are, at the end of the end days. So when I say end times, that's what I mean. When I use the word prophetic or prophecy during this message, it's referring to the signs, the information, and the events spoken of in Scripture which occur in leading up to the end days in the church age, the very end of the church age. So when I'm talking about prophecy and prophetic, it's those things that we see the scripture speaking to that allude to the end coming. Israel becoming a state again in 1948, Jerusalem becoming a part of Israel again in 1967, two major prophetic signs. We're not going to deal with those, but that's kind of what we're talking about. Well, what do I believe? You want to know right away. First of all, I think we can have disagreement about Bible prophecy and still learn to get along as Christians and dialogue and have friendship and fellowship. And I refuse to break fellowship on this issue, which I believe, as important as it is a peripheral and non-essential issue. I am a premillennialist. Now, that's a term you may know, you may not know, but a premillennialist believes in the premillennial return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm teaching here from that perspective, the perspective that the rapture of the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, is an actual physical event, and that it takes place just before the seven-year period known as the Great Tribulation that we see the Lord Jesus speak about in Matthew 24, verse 21. So that's where I'm coming from. Now, do you have to agree with me to be a Christian or for me to think that you're saved? No. There are a lot of people that don't agree with this point of view. I have good friends who are post-tribbers. They believe in the post-tribulation rapture of the church, that the church will be here through the entire tribulation period. I was once a mid-tribber. I believed in the mid-tribulation rapture of the church, and I was convinced of that position for quite some time. And I think there's good evidence for all of those, and I think the Lord left this nebulous enough or veiled enough, kind of a gray area, that even though a lot of us think we absolutely know that this is the way it's got to be, I think there's good arguments on all sides. And though I have the pre-tribulation position in my life, that's what I believe in, I'm not going to ever break fellowship with somebody based on that, because we fellowship with people based on the blood of Jesus Christ, on salvation by grace, on the inerrancy of the Scripture, on the essential doctrines given to us in the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed. Not about Bible prophecy and the rapture and those kind of things. I've often said that my rapture seminar is pretty short. I'm praying for pre, I'd settled for mid, and I'm preparing for post. I figure it like this: when he calls, I go. And we'll all be glad for that. And all the post-tribbers on the way up will all be able to, I'll be able to say to you, I told you so. But that's, of course, a bad joke. Anyway, but you don't have to believe what I believe about this issue to be a Christian. But this is an important issue, and understand I'm teaching from this angle. And if you're a post-tribber, or if you're an amillennialist, you believe that the millennium is, or the millennial period, the thousand-year reign of Christ, is figurative and it's not an actual event and not actually going to take place, then I just want to maybe convince you to re-examine your position a little bit. Now, let me continue to define some of the terms we'll use. I've done this in other messages, and I've done it in length in the message, the end time occult invasion. But I want to define what I'm saying when I mean the word occult. When I use that word, this is what we're referring to. The occult is the Latin word, or it's the English word that comes out of the Latin word occultus. That's where it comes from. And it means things hidden, things in darkness, things left unrevealed, the practices of sorcery and divination. And the occult includes, but is not limited to, witchcraft, or the common vernacular, more organized form of witchcraft called Wicca, or psychics, tarot cards, fortune telling, astrology, numerology, palmistry, sorcery, spells, incantations, Satanism, and the mystic practices of the New Age movement. So that is the entire genre of what we're speaking about when I use the word occult during the message here. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. Again, I taught about this in length in my book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware. Over 100 pages of that book is dedicated to the study of the nine forbidden practices that you see here in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. But let's read through this, because it gives us the best view, the best look, and the most inclusive look of what God's Word says about the world of the occult anywhere in the Bible. Though certainly there are other passages we could refer to as well. But this is a key passage. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire. There is forbidden practice number one. or that useth divination, there's number two, or an observer of times, there's number three, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. And there are the nine forbidden practices. Now, the occult is being promoted to us in all kinds of ways today. It seems to be being force-fed to us, and I don't necessarily think there's a conspiracy of people in Hollywood to do this. But they're making a lot of money preaching supernatural themes to us through television and motion pictures and through music and all these different types of ways that we see the occult being promoted through games and through literature and, of course, through the internet. Our video games and so on. This is happening all around us, where we're being desensitized about the world of the occult. You need to recognize that for the first time in modern history, the occult, and again, we're talking about the opposite of the supernatural of God. We're talking about satanic supernaturalism. The occult has become normal to the culture that we live in. And this isn't happening just here in the United States or just in Western Europe. This is happening around the world. The culture worldwide has become conditioned to accept supernatural themes and the supernatural, but not the supernatural of God. Now, the Barna Research Group, and I appreciate George Barna's statistics and the work they have done, how meticulous they are. I don't always agree with the conclusions he draws from his statistics, but I appreciate the work they do. And in January 2006, he did a survey of 4,000 teens across the United States. 73% of these teenagers in the United States surveyed by George Barna said they have engaged in occult activity beyond mere media exposure or horoscope usage. Now, that ought to be enough to shock most of us that 73% of these teens, of the teens in this survey, have answered this. 27% of the teens surveyed by Barna believe horoscopes are always true. Now, when I became a Christian, I recognized that there was no other source of supernatural power that I needed to look to. There was no other source of precognizant understanding of what might happen tomorrow that I needed to look to. That horoscopes could not be accurate because of the way they're written. And that no one but God Almighty knows the future. And it's for that reason that I used to be an Aries and now I'm a Christian. 27% of our kids, though, believe that horoscopes are always true. 35% of the kids in this survey say they have used a Ouija board. And my wife and her sister used a Ouija board when they were little girls, and they thought it was them giving the board the answer as the planchette moved around on it. But that turned out not to be the fact and frightened them so much that they screamed and ran out of the room when the board gave them an answer that neither one of them were thinking about, and they realized there was a supernatural force at work, even though they were not Christians at the time. 35% of the kids in the Barna survey said they have read occult books. That's over one out of every three of our teenagers today. 26% of the kids say they have played games based on the occult and sorcery. 10% of these kids say they have actively participated in a seance, and 7% said they have attempted casting spells and hexes and have attempted or have attempted mixing magic potions. 30% have had their palms read. 27% have had their fortunes told. 14% have witnessed psychic powers being used by their friends, and 9% of these kids, that's almost 1 out of 10, have actually taken the opportunity to visit a medium, with another 9% saying they have consulted a psychic. You know, the Psychic Friends Hotline, remember, was made so popular by the singer Dionne Warwick, and it's now, of course, gone out of business, gone bankrupt. And I've always wondered if they were really psychics, you would have thought they would have seen their bankruptcy coming, but I guess that's another story. Because, you see, the psychics may make a good guess. I've been dialoguing this week with a lady who was teaching a teen class, a Sunday school class in her church in another part of the United States. And she is teaching from the occult and teaching some of my material as well as she teaches to the kids. And they have questions, and they said, how come the psychics can get it right? And, you know, anybody can, if it's a yes or no question, you can be right 50% of the time. The psychics may get it right part of the time. And yes, they may be able to accurately or seemingly accurately predict the future. Look at Jean Dixon. She was right about 50% of the time. Yet, by Old Testament standards, she would have been stoned to death after she missed it the first time if she would have claimed to have been a prophet. And so we have to understand that these people might guess and get it right, and they might have demonic forces speaking to them, though they don't recognize it probably. And through these demonic forces, they may be able to predict accurately something that might take place in the future, but it's only Satan really making a guess, because the scripture is clear. The devil doesn't know the future. He's not omniscient, omnipresent. He's not all-knowing. He's not all-powerful. And only God, the God of the universe, can understand and know the future. Hello, everybody. Eric Barger back in the studio again. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Take a Stand Radio, and we're playing the audio soundtrack of my seminar DVD teaching, Bible Prophecy and the Occult, and we'll get back to that teaching in just a moment. But if you're wondering who I am and what I do, well, we're approaching the beginning of our 30th year of full-time apologetics and discernment ministry, and we're here on the radio at this time each week. The central calling of our ministry is to travel to conferences and local churches nationwide and present Take a Stand seminars. And that deals with the cults, the occult, spiritual warfare, the emergent church movement, issues inside the church, Bible prophecy, current events, and all of those things in the lay of the Bible. Just visit our website, ericbarger.com, for a lot more information about all of those issues. And one more thing, I'd like to send you our free newsletter and also our free email updates. To subscribe to those, just call us at 214-289-5244, 214-289-5244, or visit ericbarger.com for more. If you're not already in our database, we'd like to send you not only the free updates, but also a free CD and an information pack that's chock full of helpful and challenging ministry information. Again, just call us at 214-289-5244 or visit ericbarger.com. I'm coming back with a special offer at the end of the program today, but now, here's more of my seminar DVD teaching, Bible Prophecy and the Occult. Now, there was a survey that came out back in 2001 that I want to quote here. It's the ERA study that was done between 1991 and the year 2001, and it numbers the amount of Christians in America. Now, of course, anybody can claim to be a Christian. You know, a lot of people would claim to be Christians and have no knowledge of who Jesus is. I did that before I was a Christian. I did that before I accepted Jesus Christ and became a Christian. I claimed to be, but really wasn't. Well, in the ERA survey that was done in 1991, 86.2% of the people in the United States claimed they were Christians. But it was 1991 was when that was done. In 2001, 76.5% of the people in the country claim to be Christians. That's a drop of over 10% that took place. Now, this is while the occult is coming up the ladder, while more people are getting involved in it. More people are seeking after supernaturalism. More people are trying to find out their future through occult means and occult practices. More people are trying to live their lives through the world of the occult. Now, during this same period, between 1991 and 2001, Wicca, which we would commonly refer to as witchcraft or neo-paganism, saw the fastest rise of any religion in the world. And during that 10-year period, the amount of people who identified with the term Wicca as their religion or neo-paganism or witchcraft as their religion rose 1,675% during that 10-year period. Now, folks, if that's not a surefire sign that we're living in the end of the end days, I don't know what is, and you'll see more as we go on. I want to jump back to the Barna survey real quick. In January 2006, the 4,000 teenagers surveyed by the George Barna Research Group, the conclusions of the Barna Research Group about what they found out during the research, they were very disturbed. Now, Barna is a Christian, and his team are Christians. They were disturbed, and this is what they said, quote, "The research revealed that many churches failed to address the subject of the supernatural with sufficient frequency or relevance. only 28% of churched teenagers recall receiving any teaching at their church in the last year that helped to shape their views of the supernatural world. You know, I'm all for teenagers and youth groups having fun and having outings and, you know, games and all that kind of stuff and fellowship and food and all. But they've got to have a clear view of the supernatural power of God. They need to see the anointing of God at work. They need to understand the truth of God and His Word and the standards of God and His Word. And this is a shocking deal that only 28% of these church teenagers recall hearing anything in the last year that helped to shape the way they think about the supernatural world. Could this be, and I believe it is, the reason so many kids are running after the occult? Because they're looking for something that they think is, quote, quote, real. You know, we need to show them as Christians the reality of the power and the truth and the beauty and the anointing and the worship and so on of God. And we need to lead by example. And don't get me into that because that's a whole different message. And I want to preach that one instead of this one. We truly have a satanic progression going on today. It is no longer just the views of a boy wizard named Harry Potter, or anything that you might have seen in witchcraft and the occult that you might have thought was promoted by the Lord of the Rings, or anything that you might see on the Disney Channel or promoted by Disney. Let's face it, we couldn't have this occult explosion if we had not seen things like Snow White and Sleeping Beauty and white and black magic being treated as they were by the Disney Corporation and by their writers over the last few decades. This could have all been expected. Just as we could have expected to see, there has been a progression toward more ominous and evil ideas. I'm reminded of the fact that a man who watches one form of so-called light pornography will never continue to be satisfied by it. He will always want something more perverse and more perverse and more perverse and more perverse. And this is really what happens in the supernatural as well. People are seeking after something. They want something. They want supernatural experiences without the cost of repenting of sin and coming to Christ and finding Him as Lord and Savior. And they're not satisfied. There's a continual desire in our culture, almost a bloodthirsty desire for evil in our culture. We'll pick up right there next week, but as I close, I want to encourage you to visit ericbarger.com and order the live seminar DVD teaching of Bible prophecy and the occult. We're playing the audio soundtrack here, but of course, many slides and visuals are used in the DVD. We're also offering my book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware, The End Time Occult Invasion. We've had a complete revision and update of that book in recent years, and also a fabulous book by my colleague, Jill Martin Rishi, the daughter of the late great Walter Martin, called The Kingdom of the Occult. That's Jill's book, The Kingdom of the Occult. Now, you can order these three resources separately or together in a discounted special package. Order that package today, and as you do, remember, your financial support through gifts and purchases of our ministry materials allow us to pay for our radio expenses and literally make it possible for us to keep bringing these cutting-edge programs to you each week. We're one of the few voices of discernment and apologetics speaking out in these end days, and we need your help. If we're going to stay on the air, it will be because people like you care about ministries like ours. We'll keep bringing the messages as long as you help us and get involved financially. Well, each week I remind you that this ministry is brought to you by Take a Stand Ministries, Rowlett, Texas, and we're completely funded by the gifts of our friends and our supporters. Come take your stand with us and make sure you join us again next week for the second part of this important message. God bless you.
With nearly three decades of experience, Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries exist to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. Please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Or call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week and encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
The book of Nehemiah tells the story of how the people of God joined with a common purpose to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Today, the church is facing the same situation the Israelites faced. Our walls are broken down, and there is much opposition, even from inside the camp. This is Eric Barger, and this is the time to take a stand against false doctrine and cultic beliefs, and do battle for the lost. Under Nehemiah's leadership, it only took 52 days to rebuild the wall. Take a Stand Ministries is dedicated to mending the broken condition in today's church 52 weeks a year. I'm looking for 100 partners to give $52 or more every month to meet the needs of Take a Stand Radio. Are you one of those courageous builders willing to help? If so, please contact me today at ericbarger.com or call us at 214-289-5244. Together, let's build this wall for the King of Kings and for the sake of lost souls.